We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another BuzzBeat episode. This is Richie, and we are glad you guys are joining us today. We are back for episode 2 of the Standout Skills series with 3 new players to look at. If you missed episode 1, we chatted about LaMelo, Trey Mann, and Davis Bertans. As we get into this, if you would like early access to these episodes, if you would like no ads on this episodes, look into BuzzBeat Plus. We have a deal going on. Normally it's $35 a year, but if you click the link in the episode notes, you get 75% off an annual subscription. So that'll be $8.75 for a full season of ad-free episodes and premium content. I don't think there'll be another deal like this, but you do need to redeem that by May 15th. And the link will be in the episode notes. But if you want to do it right now, it's buzzbeat.substack.com/BB75. I will be joined by Darian and Brian again today for episode 2 of this Standout Skills series. How's it going, guys?
Going good. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about, you know, Micić and all the wonderful things he does well.
Yep. This is an interesting one of guys we're going to highlight and been enjoying the playoffs, but it's been fun, I think, to sort of take stock of where the Hornets have been. The last couple of weeks, going back through some numbers and some film. Yeah, I think I'm like a little encouraged heading into the offseason. Still no coach for the Hornets. Thought maybe there was a chance by the time we recorded this one, we might have there might be some news to report in terms of that. But no dice at the moment as far as that goes. Although, I guess we should mention, it does seem like the Hornets are down to Charles Lee, an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics. Also with the Milwaukee Bucks, who played college basketball at Bucknell. Young coach with lots of experience for 2 good Eastern Conference teams. And then J.J. Redick, former Duke star, played in the NBA, and now a podcaster
like us. A podcaster like us. We should be receiving a call any minute now.
Our colleague, J.J. Redick, is also is a finalist for the Hornets position, which is – it's interesting. I have some thoughts on it. We can maybe table those until a final decision has been made. But yeah, looking forward to talking Micić, Richards, and Mark Williams with you guys.
Grant Williams.
Oh, okay. Grant Williams. Yeah. Okay, cool. Perfect.
Sorry. Were you prepared for Mark Williams?
I can be fine with either one's fine.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. I guess I just said Williams and I wasn't even thinking about 2 Williams on the team. Okay, well, we will start in that order, Micić, then Richards, then Grant Williams. So we'll start with Micić real quick. He averaged 10.8 points and 2.1 rebounds in his 30 games with the Hornets. He shot 53% on twos, 29% on threes, and 84% from the free throw line. So when he came over to Charlotte, that first game against Memphis, I think it was one of his better ones, and I think fans started to gravitate toward him and his style of play. And, you know, just seeing him in a different, more increased role over here in Charlotte, we saw that. He's a very deceptive, creative player, the way that he can pass the ball, get others involved. He has all the skills of your prototypical point guard, and he sets the table for others. Now, he's not awesome defensively, and that is certainly something that we have to look at, but you should feel somewhat comfortable, I would say, with him being your backup point guard next season. I think we're going into next season with a better idea of our backup point guard situation than, like, you know, the previous three or four seasons. Obviously, Dennis Smith Jr. turned out to be pretty good as well. But, you know, I like his ability to drive. I like his ability to get downhill and use that ability to draw in defenders and make those passes out to teammates. He's going to create quality looks for guys, whether that's in the dunker spot, whether that's out on the perimeter. And he doesn't seem to be affected all that much by contact when he does get into the paint. So, Darian, before we kind of talk about his one standout skill, what are your quick thoughts on Micić?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be the backup point guard of the future, at least foreseeable future. I have been an advocate of saying that I'm all for the Hornets maybe ignoring maybe some more important needs to get a really, really good backup point guard, just because of the fact that we do know LaMelo Ball is coming off an injury. We don't know if he'll get injured again, and we don't know what that timetable is going to look like as far as him, you know, kind of coming back as well, because we know there's going to be some bumpy games, you know, between the beginning of next season and towards probably the middle of the season. Melo is just trying to get his basketball legs back. But if we're going to run with Micić, I don't think it's a problem. I'd rather that than what the Hornets have been doing the last couple of years. Like you said, it worked out with Dennis Smith Jr. as far as grabbing him at the last second and then him being able to kind of be exactly what we needed. It really wasn't maybe quite the backup point guard you were really looking for with that kind of team. But like I said, he ended up being something more of what we needed as far as from the defensive end. And then this year, they just didn't do a good job at all, really just trying to pencil in Frank Ntilikina there. And so I really didn't like that. So
I forgot about him.
And don't get Schmidt, Teo Maldon.
Maldon, I was like literally watching Brandon Miller clips earlier today, and I saw there was one from a November game, and I was like, oh my God, Teo right. Maldon in the flesh.
And they tried to do it like the day, maybe like 2 weeks before. Then Frank Ntilikina got hurt. They didn't even try to address it then. So I feel like Micić is by far better than what we've had in the past, maybe outside of Dennis Smith Jr., if you want to compare like what was needed compared to what we got. But I think it could be a little better, but I'm fine with Micić. If we go into the next season with Micić but address other areas, I'll have no qualms about it.
Yeah, I think going into next season, I'm fine, especially because like I like Vasa. Like, I think he's good. In having he and Trey Mann still around, like, I'm cool with both those guys going in kind of as like quasi combo guards, quasi backup ones. Like, I don't mind that. Both those guys can play off the ball. Both those guys can initiate pick and roll, you know, both coming over in that midseason trade from Oklahoma City. So like, given the fact that like, for me, again, I would be thinking about the 24-25 season as sort of like another building block period for the Hornets, I'd still be trying to like retain my 2025 first round pick, which is lottery protected to San Antonio right now. And I would still be aiming to try to get a very high draft pick for next year. So with that in mind, like, I would be very like, I'm cool with sort of like bringing those guys back, seeing Trey Mann for a full season, seeing Micić for a full season, letting those guys, you know, occasionally start when the opportunities are there, depending on how the roster is built out. And Mann especially, just because he's still in his early 20s and has some intriguing offensive potential, which we talked about on the last episode. But I think like pretty quickly, Micić became like just a dependable guy for Charlotte the final, you know, back third of the season. Definitely a guy who sort of like knows his strengths and I think plays to them fairly well. And an incredibly accomplished player in Europe before he came over to Oklahoma City. And for me, like, if you've ever listened to the Dunker Spot with Nikias and Steve Jones, like, one of the things Steve Jones always brings up when he's talking about Oklahoma City is that is a team, it's a program that is like, everyone wants to drive the ball. Everyone on that team. It starts with SGA and J-Dub, but everyone on that team is looking to drive the basketball. And then it's one of the ways they really like capitalize on the five out spacing that comes with playing Chet at the five and J-Dub at the four. And then I thought it was interesting that you brought Mann and Micić, you know, they come, you know, mid season or so. And immediately I thought Charlotte, you know, started being able to, like, you know, get into the paint a little bit more, tilt defenses a little bit more. And I don't think it's like any surprise that those two guys, like, coming from that program, like, it's no surprise that when they showed up to Charlotte, their willingness to drive, I think, really popped pretty quickly. And I kind of liked how that allowed Brandon Miller to kind of get back into a more comfortable role, getting to sort of like toggle between off ball mover, handoffs, you know, spot ups, pin downs, and also getting to, you know, initiate plenty of pick and roll action as well. Misa just got good size, strong, heady player, and like very solid, like with the empty corner ball screens with either with Grant Williams or Richards this season. And I thought he like pretty quickly like microwaved some chemistry with those guys. And it turned out to be like fairly successful for the most part. So yeah, enjoyed having him a part of the team. And you know, he's a relatively cheap player by NBA, you know, contract standards. And so yeah, with an obvious and usable skill set at a position of need, on a very like fair contract, I think he's a good, and he's a veteran. Like, I think he's a good guy to, or maybe not a veteran, but he was a rookie this season, but he's probably one of the oldest guys on the roster, if not the oldest. So, certainly good to have around, I think, for a few different reasons.
Yeah. You mentioned the driving ability of OKC and how that's just translated over here in Charlotte. And I don't know if I would necessarily say that that's my standout skill for Micić, but when I watch him play, he wants to drive the ball at a very, very high rate, get shots up at the rim, and maybe he's driving more to pass than he is to shoot. But I do think his numbers at the rim and his shooting ability at the rim is something that I would want to highlight. It may not be my like one standout skill, but he shot 62% inside the restricted area, which is like nothing crazy, but I think it's passable for a guy of his size, passable for a point guard. But when I watch him play, that's just something that I associate with Micić, his ability to get into the paint. He's going to decelerate. He's going to finish through contact, finish around opponents. It's that creativity that he has when he gets around the rim. But to me, like the biggest thing that stands out with Micić is, and it's probably not a surprise to anybody, but like my standout skill for him is just like his creativity with his playmaking. And so when he does drive the ball, and you see him do it often, he is like constantly scanning the floor as he's doing it. And he's trying to drive to pass, as I said, more so to score. And he's going to take those elongated gather steps and ball fakes because he's buying time for his teammates to get to their spots. So, you know, that's just one thing that I've noted before on the pod. Like, he's going to hold off defenders with his eyes. I feel like he knows where he wants to go with the ball, but he needs to deceive the defenders and kind of create that last second space for his teammates.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'll sort of just kind of pick up and finish up where I left off with Misic. Is like it's drives, and I'll go specifically to like his pick and roll attacks. I know he's not a guy that we think about just constantly turning the corner, but with his ability to manipulate, his size, the deceleration, like he can kind of get downhill and get 2 feet in the paint, and like he's not like a terrible finisher. 36% of his shots for the Hornets this season. Within, you know, 4 or 5 feet of the rim, according to Cleaning the Glass, that was when he was playing with Oklahoma City, that was 33%. So both solid numbers. Looking at, this is according to NBA.com's tracking data, the guy who led the Hornets in drives per game this season was LaMelo Ball with 17 while playing 32 minutes per game. Number two on the roster was Trey Mann with 13.9 drives per 31 minutes. Number three on the roster, Misic, with 11.5 drives per game at 27 minutes per game. So again, a guy like the two guys sort of to highlight, the guys that we brought in, granted, they, of course, they were like the primary ball handlers, maybe along, I guess, kind of with Cody Martin for that period of time, like right after the trade deadline when Cody was getting to play a little bit more of the one. But Misic, I really thought his work with the empty corner pick and roll this season with Richards and Grant Williams was solid. When he passed the ball out of the pick and roll this season, so possessions that he passed the ball or used the possession, the Hornets scored just under 1.0 points per possession, which is a pretty good number, actually, with a decent amount of volume in about 30 games. And when Misic shot two-pointers out of the pick and roll, he shot 54%, according to Synergy, which is a pretty good number. So, and again, a lot of that is, that's not just him like pulling up for middies. That's him getting into the paint, making stuff happen. So solid player with like, again, with sort of like an obvious defined skill and something that the Hornets can certainly can use. And again, I think with everything going forward, you've got to be thinking how guys can make sense, even if it's just for next season, around Brandon Miller, LaMelo Ball. It means it's just absolutely a guy that can play with those guys. In fact, he could be a guy that really helps Miller out to an extent if they get into some hybrid lineups with the two guys, because Miller can spot up around some of these empty corner pick and rolls with Misic operating.
And for me, I chose a little, it's from what I said, it's a little bit of what both of you said, because with Misic, I think you know what you're getting with him. You're getting someone that can drive the ball. You're getting someone that can play make for others. You're getting someone who I think has a really high basketball IQ. So my standout skill for him essentially ended up being his adaptability. And I say that because his first 10 games with the Charlotte Hornets, I think, similar to your point, Richie, the way he was able to fool defenders, there's more film on that now, as opposed to when he was at OKC, you know, you didn't really know what to expect. Then him coming to Charlotte, teams just didn't know what to expect. Also, it's the latter half of the season, you know, how you're playing the Hornets, how much are you really paying attention to them? But I think what I saw on tape is a lot of things that he tried the first 10 games, they worked. And around that eighth, ninth game, it still worked, but it only worked half the time. So then the next 10 games, he's doing something completely different. And as the lineups continue to change, he's getting, you know, more acclimated with playing with Nick Richards on the pick and roll. He's getting better at knowing where Brandon Miller is going to be. And in such a short time, with your season kind of being in flux, if you're him, because think about it, you're coming from being in Europe, being this well-renowned player, to being kind of benched at OKC, even though I think right before the trade deadline, he was getting a little more minutes here and there. And I can't quite remember if that was due to injury or not, but I do remember he was getting a little more minutes before the trade deadline, to going to Charlotte. So to where a team that has no aspirations, they're missing key guys. I think he just did a good job of understanding his situation and trying to give the team what he felt like they needed. Some people could say it was wrong because there was times, you know, maybe we'll take too many shots, but he tried to do whatever he felt like the team needed at the time. And sometimes that was him taking shots. Sometimes that was really him creating, especially when we lost Cody Martin, who, you know, at that time was for some reason the main ball handler. but then Misic kind of, when it became his role, he kind of made it his own. And you didn't see him do a lot of the things that other players were doing, and he added like a breath of fresh air to the team. And we saw that, I believe, in certain games that we were winning. You saw how him being on the court completely changed things. It got to a point where towards the latter part of the season, if he wasn't on the floor, we weren't scoring at all. It was almost impossible. It was very similar, reminiscent of what it was like when LaMelo wasn't on the floor, we weren't scoring. Now, it was a little different because LaMelo was scoring and he was being able to play make for others. But with Misic not on the floor, we were just not moving the ball at all. So I think that he's been able to find a way to make himself valuable. And I wish I could find the quotables on it, but there was plenty of times after games he would say things like that. I'm trying to make myself valuable to the team. You know, I'm trying to make myself a valuable player in the NBA. I need to learn, you know, the difference between playing in Europe and playing in the NBA. Doing it such a short amount of time with the team around you, with the coach around you, with everybody in your environment knowing that, like, this kind of doesn't matter. I think he still kind of perfected his game going forward along with the players that he had. So I'm very interested, you know, hopefully we do keep him. I don't know how much roster changeover is going to be in this offseason. I don't think it's going to be that much. But if we do keep him, I'm really interested to see how that will play out next year, because he's going to have hopefully a little more stable lineup, even if we do not necessarily make the playoffs. Hopefully my thing is I just hope that the lineup is stable more than anything. We don't make the playoffs, that's a different conversation. But if we could just have the same guys on the floor, at least for a majority of the season, I think I'll take that as a win based on what we've had in the past.
Yeah, it's a good word, adaptability, to describe Micić. You could describe him, you know, as creative, versatile, quality, passing, efficient. Like, it all applies to that guy. So I do like that standout skill.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's get on to the next player, Nick Richards. He started a career high 51 games with Mark Williams, missing a huge chunk of games this season, which was a disappointment. Richards averaged 9.7 points, 1.1 blocks, 5.5 defensive rebounds, 2.5 offensive rebounds. And you basically know what you're getting with Richards. There's nothing really that surprises you on a night-to-night basis with him. And it's actually kind of hard to see real room for improvement, like, going forward with this guy. Like, I don't even know where I would even start. Like, you know that he's a pick and roll big, you know that he can block shots. Like, maybe you wish he could maybe be more of a playmaker out of the short roll, or kind of extend his range a little bit on his shot. But I honestly don't see that happening, which may be fine for a backup big, a third big. But when he's out there, he's got to be very solid in the things that he does do well. And, you know, you can't afford him, though, you know, to be really be starting these, what, 51 games that he did start this year. Darian, I know that you aren't the biggest fan of Nick Richards, but give me some of your positives. I guess you can kind of sprinkle in your negatives as well. But, you know, thoughts on Richards as we talk about him.
My biggest thing with Nick Richards is I feel like he has all the physical tools to be better than what he is, and he just doesn't use it. I don't know if he's afraid to use it. One thing that's really difficult to tell at this team is we don't know what they're being told, what they can do, can't do, especially in his situation where he is someone that's supposed to come off the bench and now he's starting. So are they telling him not to do too much? Or I don't know what the case is, but I do feel like that's my biggest gripe with him. But my positive will be I felt like he slightly got better with that this year of being able to use his size, understanding, dude, you're 7 feet tall, but you're one of the I confuse a lot of people on social media with this. Is I have my gripes about him, but I say he's one of the better backup bigs in the league, which I still think is true. Yeah, I think he's on that like higher plane. He's not necessarily the best, but he's also I think he's better than above average. But I still have my gripes because I feel like he's just not using his size the way he should be. I think he's soft. I think he doesn't have any hands at all. But I think this year he got a lot better at it. When we were really struggling with the five out early on in the season, he did a better job than Mark Williams, I felt like, trying to at least guard those guys that were out there on the perimeter. I mean, it as you saw, we still ended up having to go with – once we got Grant Williams, that really opened it up for us. But I think Nick Richards did a better job because I feel like he's a little more nimble than Mark Williams is. So – that's just kind of my – I wouldn't necessarily call it a skill, but that's my thing with Nick Richards. I do feel like he did just – I don't know if it's confidence or what, but I do feel like he was more so using what he naturally has. Like you said, I don't think as far as basketball skill or IQ, is there really much to change? Not really. I don't think he's going to develop all of a sudden overnight. But I do feel like What he does has, he has to maximize it. And I feel like he did a slightly better job of doing that this year. I mean, we all know he's got to cut down on the offensive fouls. and then also there's times where right. And then you will look down, and there's times where you'll watch the game and you're not really paying attention. And then when you go back and look at the stats, you're like, why does Miles Bridges have 14 rebounds and Nick Bridges has 3? Nick Bridges played 30 minutes. So it's just things like that that kind of just – it. You just want more from him. Some nights we get it. Some nights we don't. Some people are stuck on the 20 games, but he'll have games where he has like 10 and 15 or 12 and 15, maybe even 15 and 15. But it's just not often enough for me, especially considering he's our main key big body. It just feels like though we're not getting that from him. But that is my positive. I don't really have many, but that my one positive would be that I did feel like he just got more confident in just his basketball ability and his natural physical gifts. Because I do think he's physically gifted. It's just he's got to unleash that.
Yeah, he has a discrete set of skills that are very useful at that position, right? As like a screen roll 5. That can offensive rebound some, can occasionally at times be destructive defensively at the rim. I wouldn't say that's like a strength of his or something he does constantly, but he has moments where he can like really control the paint. You know, he's not like a statue guarding pick and roll. They've tried different stuff with him. Usually he's in drop, but they brought him up to the level at times as well. When they're trying to, you know, force the ball out against certain matchups. That's something we've seen with him before. He's got like kind of enough mobility to sort of pull that off. He just got forced into a larger role this season than anyone was expecting, because Mark Williams gets hurt and only plays, 19 games or whatever. So saw a lot of Richards this season. When he first came into the league, I mean, his skill set is no different than what it was when he first entered the league. He just started doing everything like 10% better. And like, that can be the difference between being the sixth or seventh big guy on a roster or the third center in a backup center. Hornets get him on a pretty good extension. And I think he's a totally useful player to have in a rotation because of that set of skills, the pick and roll, the offensive rebounds, and the fact that like he gives you some mobility guarding pick and roll. This season on rolls to the basket out of the pick and roll, Richards shot 67%, scored 1.37 points per possession. It's a pretty good number. Honestly, gets a lot of offensive rebounds. His offensive rebound rate went down a little bit this season from a year ago, but still close to 11%. It's pretty good. And he can score on putbacks too.
Yeah.
If his hands were like a little bit better, I think both of y'all touched on this already and someone in the comments mentioned it too. Like, he doesn't have great hands, and it's just like, over the course of a season, if he's running X number of pick and rolls as a screen setter, there's just more of those than should. You end up getting more turnovers out of those instead of like dunks, because he's just not able to sort of like catch the ball in traffic at times. He's limited in the short roll. He doesn't give you any stretch, obviously. So he's fine, but he absolutely like is what he is now. And I'll be curious to see like, how, assuming Mark Williams comes back, is healthy for the 24-25 season, I will be curious to see what Richard's role looks like next season if he's in Charlotte for the full year, because I do think we're going to need to see some Grant Williams at 5 as well. Mark Williams, if he's healthy, you can pencil him in for, 25, 26 minutes per game. If you're getting another 6 minutes per game out of Grant Williams at the 5, all of a sudden Richards, probably in that 18 minute per game role. That sounds probably closer to what it should be for him if he's going to be your backup center. But just something to monitor going forward. I don't see him a part of like the long term, super long term picture in Charlotte, but for now, he's not bad to have around. I think this also kind of goes into like, what do you want from your backup center? Do you want your backup 5 to give you a similar set of skills to your starter, or do you want that guy to be someone that can kind of come in and change the geometry of the offense or the defense by offering something different? And that's not, you know, Charlotte doesn't have that. Williams and Richards do a lot of the same. I mean, I think Williams is obviously, like, you know, far superior player, but and has a way more upside. But just like those guys are doing a lot of the same things, you know, in terms of like what they're being asked to do. So I don't know if there was ever a time that Charlotte wanted to sort of like look a little bit different in the back, in the center room, then Richards is a guy that would become, you know, expendable pretty quickly. Will also be interesting to see whichever coach comes in next, like what, how much they want to use. And we can talk more about Williams in a second, but just how much they want to use, you know, go small at the five versus, you know, Clifford, while his hands were tied because there were so many injuries the last couple of seasons, like a guy that really wanted to have a like traditional five on the court as much as possible. So I think that's something to keep in mind going forward. And if I had to just highlight like one, you know, superior skill for Richards, I'll say the offensive rebounding. You could highlight the pick and roll stuff, but I just don't think he gives you quite enough. And on the short roll, he's a little unreliable with his hands, so I don't want to highlight that. So I'll go. You know, him being sort of like a pretty industrious offensive rebounder.
That was the exact same standout skill that I had. It's not a sexy standout skill, but it's something that is needed, offensive rebounding. And just because of where he plays with the rolling and being around the rim a ton, you know, he's going to be involved in those offensive rebounds. And I feel like, even though, Darian, you say he's soft, I feel like he does get some contested rebounds on occasion. And just having to be in the vicinity of others and trying to outmuscle them. And he's a guy that also doesn't lose advantage on those offensive boards. He puts those back up for points. He actually had 130 putback points, which was 12th most in the NBA. So he's very active, very effective when it comes to that. And actually, one of the reasons why, when we had a preseason podcast about who we'd give the Hustle Award to, I know that I think you and Spencer, Brian, gave it to Cody Martin, which, you know, that's the first guy that kind of stood out to me. But I did mention Nick Richards just because of his ability to get on the offensive glass and, you know, put the ball back up for extra points. So, Darian, was your standout skill just the confidence? Was that your standout skill?
Yeah, if you want to say, I mean, really, I was kind of leaning towards strength, but just his ability, like similar to what you said, I think 2 years ago, maybe if I'm not mistaken, he was one of the best offensive rebounders in the league, whether starter or not starter, it didn't matter. So of course he has that ability, and he has the strength. It's just a matter of when he kind of chooses when and when not to use it. There's times where he's getting out muscled by guys who shouldn't out muscle him. I really wish I could remember the game, but there was a game kind of like really at close to the end of the season where I think it was against the Cavs, but not the last game against the Cavs, but the game before, where Jared Allen was giving him a tough time. Grant Williams came in and just didn't have any issues with Jared Allen at all. So it's just like a pick and choose for Nick Richards. And I mean, there could be other reasons to that, but I would say strength, and you can kind of pair that with offensive rebounds as well, because I do highlight his ability. He's a really good offensive rebounder, and for a team like this that has not been the best shooting team in the last couple of years, it really shows.
Yeah.
And he was, if I'm not mistaken, during the trade deadline, a lot of teams were interested in him, not necessarily willing to give up their, you know, everything, but a lot of teams called Charlotte and was looking for what he can offer. Well,
we talked about that around the deadline. Like, I think Oklahoma City is a team that was actually, you know, linked to potentially, at least, I don't know if Sam Presti called Mitch Kupchak, but that was at least one that got like floated around as a name. I kind of thought, I think if the way that we discussed this at the time with Spencer Ritchie was like, it didn't really make sense for them to trade Richard just because of his salary number, and like he was actually going to bring. So just like, to me, some of the Richards like trade murmurs, which I think a lot of them were sort of like basketball Twitter generated. I think a lot of that was just like people looking at a team with the Hornets who were sellers, looking at teams that obviously had like a seat or seemingly had a need at backup center. Oklahoma City, maybe they did. I mean, they seem to be doing pretty well with the other Jalen Williams as their backup center. But so to me, that one never made like a ton. Like Richards as a trade guy never made a lot of sense because it was sort of unclear like what you were going to get in return for him. But we'll see if that continues into next season. And like, I could see with all of the guys we're discussing in this episode, I could see all of them potentially being guys that get, you know, flipped, whether it's in one-off deals or guys are getting packaged together next season for Charlotte.
All right, let's get on to Grant Williams, played in 29 games here in Charlotte, and I think he's relishing his time to play in front of this hometown team. With the Hornets, he averaged 13.9 points, 5.1 rebounds, and 3.2 assists on 60.5% shooting on twos and 37.3% shooting on threes. I think for this specific episode or this specific conversation, it's hard to pinpoint a standout skill for Grant Williams, which I think is both maybe a bad thing, but I think it actually is a good thing with the way that he plays. He does a lot of the little things right, BG. So I'll let you lead off on Grant Williams.
Yeah, really enjoyed his time in Charlotte this year. And I think for him, you know, it would have been interesting to see if Dallas hadn't found any takers, you know, for him, if they could have, you know, eventually, like, he could have, with a full season and more runway to work with, maybe he would have found a role. But I liked having him in Charlotte and him working as more than just a spacer. You know, the Hornets put the ball in his hands a lot. They let him, you know, initiate offense from the high post. They let him work as a screener and short role playmaker. So it was kind of good for him to, I think, kind of get back to showing his full array of skills, not sort of just being, you know, pigeonholed into being a spacer around, you know, Luka and Kyrie spread pick and roll. So I liked that for him. I was curious for a guy like Grant Williams, who spent his entire career before the season playing with the Celtics. They've been an amazing team throughout that stretch. His role has sort of like fluctuated, but when they went to the finals a couple of years ago, like, he was a really important player for that team that season. And I was a little curious to see how it would go with his role shifting from going from like elite team with title aspirations to a bad team. That's, you know, angling for a good lottery pick. And he came in and, like, I thought the leadership was good. I thought the toughness was good. The physicality, he got into it with, you know, Draymond Green, showed some fight for the Hornets throughout the season. And just think, like, that's kind of a good guy to have around. I'm kind of excited to see what he does in this role for the Hornets. Like, I think there's a chance that, like, he could be a very useful player for them in the front court room for the next few years going forward. And I have sort of more to add on that in a second, or I could also see him just being like a lever that they can pull and use as a trade piece, to like a valuable trade piece, you know, a guy that has positive, I would say, like, maybe the league sort of like down on him overall after the Dallas experience, but my guess would be he still has positive trade value. But more importantly for Charlotte, like, in the now, is that, like, he's a very useful player. He's a two-way player. It was fun to see all the different like schemes they used with him guarding pick and roll this season. It is funny to see like a 6'4", 6'5" center in drop coverage. Funny is at least one way to describe that, but, you know, his ability to switch, play the drop, be up at the level, trap, you know, anchor the zone. I enjoyed that versatility, that like team defense that Williams brings. He's one of the strongest guys in the league. He's gotta be. I think that's one of the reasons why, like, you know, Darian, you were talking about this with
Richards,
with regards to Richards a minute ago, him having trouble maybe in the paint, you know, against certain guys, and Williams having less of that. I mean, he's obviously a couple inches shorter than Richards, but he's so strong and positionally sound on defense that, like, he can be like kind of a deterrent at times as a small ball five defensively. He's, of course, a little limited as a finisher. You know, he is a below-the-rim guy. So, like, sometimes it can make, almost in ways that are, like, kind of similar to, like, P.J. Washington when he was here, too. Just, like, I mean, I think P.J.'s, you know, longer and probably has a little bit more, you know, pop vertically. But, you know, a guy like Grant really is finishing below the rim. So he's going to have to, you know, use angles and touch and his floater. And he kind of has to be, like, a little crafty to finish in some of those situations. He can do it. It just is something to sort of like compensate for. And then if I had to pick one like primary skill, at least the thing that like jumped off most for me with Williams, and kind of the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because I want to introduce a thought, and I'm kind of curious to hear you guys weigh in on this too, while also talking about Grant. I really liked him in the dribble handoff game this season for Charlotte. I thought that was a huge deal for them. I thought he helped unlock Mann, Misic, Seth Curry at times, Davis Bertans at times. How many times did Bertans, you know, get to sprint into an open three coming off of Williams' handoff? You saw the Hornets go to a lot of, you know, that elbow corner action where they throw it to Williams in the high post. Then they run, you know, a down screen for a player in the strong side corner. That guy can either come off that screen into, like, you know, Chicago zoom action with Williams. You saw Miller do this a lot. Or they can run a split cut out of that and then have that player go back door instead of coming up off the handoff. And I thought Williams and Miller had good chemistry doing that stuff this season. And so the thought I had was that, like, long term, for a guy like Miller, who I think we all agree is, you know, certainly like a big piece for Charlotte going forward, and a guy that can self-create his own offense and can do a lot of different things. But I think Miller's such a good off-ball mover at this time. He's good coming off handoffs, pin downs, cutter. I think it's whether it's Grant Williams or it's someone else, I think it's important for Charlotte to, going forward, have someone in the front court room. I think LaMelo could benefit from this as well. But specifically to Miller, having a guy that, like, works as like a front court hub for Miller to play off of is like a big, I think that's actually important for Charlotte to incorporate. And I'm like glad that they have it now with Williams, but I would say, like, if he can be the guy going forward, it may be him. But I think if there's even something beyond this, they need to be thinking about that, because I think that's a really big piece for sort of like unlocking Miller. I don't think it's a surprise, by the way, that, like, you know, you go to Grant Williams' page on you go to the assist combo page on pbpstats.com. You know, Grant Williams played for two teams this season. Who did he assist the most this year? Brandon Miller. 21 assists to Brandon Miller. And I'm sure plenty of those were just little, like, handoff actions, you know, that Miller came off and shot a three or curled and shot a two. So I think, like, for me, it's the dribble handoff playmaking and the way he can help get guys open by being strong, by being, you know, skilled, you know, handling the basketball. And he can short roll, you know, he can short roll into space and be a passing outlet in those situations too. But I just think it's the fact that, like, he's a willing screener. He's strong. He can pass from the high post too. So my standout skill for him would be the dribble handoff playmaking of Williams. And like, if I had to, like, narrow it even more, I would say, like, what that means for a guy like Brandon Miller and his skill set moving forward for Charlotte.
Yeah, I can speak on that before I give my standout skill and let Darian speak too about Grant Williams and the way that he can unlock some things for Brandon Miller. I think with the fact that you can play him as an undersized five on both ends of the court because of his strength, because he doesn't give up ground on these bigger guys, he can box out, he can snag rebounds better than almost anyone his size in the NBA. And he's such a versatile player that it puts pressure on the defense to come out and guard him. So when you talk about that, Brian, in terms of the DHO game, the five that is guarding him is going to have to come out and guard him. He's such a good passer. He can work the elbow. I also think he's a good passer out of the post as well. So if you have his back to the basket, you've got Brandon Miller coming off a wiper screen. You can make that pass out to him and kind of use that advantage as well. So I do think that Grant Williams, that inside out or that outside in game, however you want to really describe it, because he can shoot the three. He can play out of the post in terms of more so like the playmaking aspect. But yeah, I would agree, Brian, that his combination with Brandon Miller is very interesting. And because he's so unselfish at times, you wish maybe he might take a little bit more shots, kind of getting inside the paint at times. But yeah, I do like that. That's not my standout skill, but the connection between those two, those skills play off of each other really, really well.
For me, and I'm actually glad that you mentioned his ability to play make out of the post, because my second skill, someone had my first skill, was his playmaking ability. But my first skill was his rim finishing, actually, similar to what BG said about how he has to be a little more crafty because he doesn't have necessarily just the agility and explosiveness of PJ. And I know I really say explosive lightly for PJ, but still there is a difference between him and Grant Williams. Grant Williams is just very, very cautious about the way he goes up. he's not just throwing it up there hoping that it goes in. He's very meticulous about how he's approaching the rim, and he does it in so many different ways, whether that is a pick and roll, whether that is he's cutting, or whether that is he just has position in the paint. And what makes his ability to finish at the rim even better is the fact that he is a threat to pass out the post. So you really can't just guard him any one way. Sometimes he is going to pass out the post. Sometimes he's going to find a way to just be patient and just find an angle to be able to go up and score. In less than 5 feet at the rim, he completed 72% of his shots, which is a career high for him, and with a career high attempts for 157. So that's something that I personally just was not familiar with. I mean, I remember seeing it. I just didn't think it was at that rate. If you look at years past, the way Boston is using him, the way the Dallas has used him, it's been more so to kind of put him in the corner. And honestly, it's, we think about those teams, they're somewhat kind of similar because you have two guys who handle the ball a majority of the time with Kyrie and Luka, and then Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So it made sense why he was kind of in the corner. Now, will that change when LaMelo gets here and then we see more Brandon Miller handling the ball, and then you have, you know, Micic, as we talked about, Trey Mann? I don't know. But if they continue to use Grant, that's one thing I hope our next coach does, is see that how Steve Clifford used him and continue to use him that same way, because just as versatile he is on defense, he's just as, if not more versatile on offense. And yeah, it doesn't always equal points, which luckily for Charlotte, it did, him averaging almost 14 points a game. But I do feel like that it's just because he allows other players to become a threat as well. So you have guys like LaMelo, who I think is a really good off-ball shooter. I know people think I say take the ball out of LaMelo's hand when I highlight how good of a off-ball shooter he is, but that's the opposite of what I'm saying. But LaMelo is just really good when he can shoot off-ball. Brandon Miller, as we've all seen. I think Miles Bridges can find a way to incorporate Miles Bridges, even though we don't even know if he's going to be on the team. But just for the sake of the show, he is. And I think there's some actions you can work there with Miles Bridges as well, because hopefully he is someone who's attacking a basket more coming in this upcoming season. So I think Grant Williams, I just really like him. I've always really liked Grant Williams. So I was excited when he came to Charlotte. When people were talking about that, he just wasn't a good player. I was confused. I was confused because those are the type of players I like. The guys who really enhance their team, they don't have to do too much. Not defensively, he's not the same, but it reminded me of Joakim Noah, how he was also just kind of very much in the same way, just able to make those guys better on both ends of the ball. Like I said, not to the same way, because Joakim Noah is a defensive player of the year. But just you look at his stats, you're not going to see how impactful he really is. And that's kind of what I'm getting from Grant Williams. We don't have the full team, so it may look completely different next year. I hope it doesn't, but I think Grant Williams and his rim finishing ability is something that is small, because we have so many guys that can score. But you add that, like I said, to his ability to also just be able to pass out the post, I think it just highlights his game. It really takes it to another level, because you never know what you're going to get with him.
Hey, you guys both went offense, but I'm going to go defense for my standout skill. I think that end of the court, and maybe it's not something that's like quantifiable, but I think it's kind of like what you were speaking to, Darian, like the defensive accountability and getting guys to play maybe better than their abilities. And he's a guy that you see this with, like on a night-to-night basis on the defensive end, when he goes one-on-one against some of the better players. And I don't even think he's like a steals guy. Like, I don't even think he's a guy that like creates a ton of events on the defensive end. But you feel comfortable with placing him on the opposing team's best shot creator, and you're going to live with it. You can match up one-on-one with a variety of different players with that guy, and you know he's talking on defense. You know he's making sure everyone is in the correct spots. You know that he's pumping up his teammates on the sidelines to do better and making sure that they're doing their best on the defensive end. And you see it when he stands up for his teammates when opponents kind of get under their skin, and he brings that vocal leadership that is just shown throughout so many examples on the court. And I think that's something that is sorely missed with this locker room. So, it's not really tangible, but like the defensive accountability with Grant Williams, he leads by example. He leads by his voice. So that's where I'm going to go. Brian, any final thoughts on Grant Williams?
Just to quickly add a little bit of context, this is via NBA's player tracking data. With the Hornets this season, Williams averaged 48 touches per game, 32 front court touches per game, and had the ball in terms of time of possession, 1.7 minutes, with Dallas this year, granted in only 26 minutes per game, about four fewer, only 31 and a half touches per game, under fewer than 18 front court touches per game, time of possession 0.9. So again, he was used differently. Steve Clifford gave him some opportunities. I think he took advantage of them. And like, he's a guy that I'm really glad that Charlotte has going forward, because he can help them next season. He makes sense with their best young players. I'm curious to see, like, depending on maybe on what happens with Bridges, like maybe Grant Williams ends up becoming the starting four next season for them. And it's LaMelo, Miller, the, you know, Grant and Mark Williams, and then whomever else, you know, whether it's you know, another guard or something like that. Or if you're using Williams, he's coming off the bench, playing a bunch of minutes, closing games for you, and sort of like spending time backing up at the four and five. I'm curious to see what his role will be next season, but certainly like a good guy to have. And I'm very interested to see how the relationship, the partnership, the chemistry, the synergy develops between Grant Williams and Brandon Miller. I'm really interested in that. But I like the fact that he complements all of the like key pieces that are in the key young guys for Charlotte: LaMelo, Miller, and Mark Williams. Like, he fits, it makes sense with all of those guys. And honestly, if I were in the building for Charlotte, I would be telling Nick Smith Jr. to try to get on the same page with this guy as much as humanly possible, because Smith has the ability to, like, he's kind of one of those sort of like, you know, he's kind of an off-ball mover type too, and a guy that can do some stuff, but you probably want him to get a screen before he's getting into the action. And so he's a guy that maybe he has the ability to kind of figure out a little bit of chemistry in the half-court offense with Grant Williams too. So good guy to have around, and I'm glad he's, you know, he's what, three more years under contract with Charlotte. Like, it's a really nice it's a nice player for Charlotte to have, and who knows, maybe depending on how things shake out, could also be a trade chip for them down the line too.
All right, just to recap episode two, we looked at Micić. I said creative playmaking. BG talked about his driving ability. Darian talked about his adaptability. Richards, we kind of all fell into the same category of the offensive rebounding. And then Grant Williams here, I talked about his defensive accountability. BG talked about his DHO playmaking. And Darian talked about his rim finishing. So thanks to all those that joined on the live video version, or to a lot of you guys that are listening via the audio version. We will continue this standout skill series with maybe one or two more episodes with some of the guys that played some heavy minutes. I think that's why I forgot, Brian, about Mark Williams, just because he did not play heavy minutes. So it kind of slipped my mind. So when I said Williams, I just thought that was like fresh on your mind and we were thinking the same wavelength, but obviously not. Maybe we'll get to him. Maybe we won't. But also too, just kind of be on standby for a potential new coach, and we'll talk about our reaction to that. So for Darian, for BG, I'm Richie. Take care, and we will talk to you guys later.